Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Uven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, we're going to start off. First of all, let me explain why I look a little different. I have a beard. As you can see, I'm growing a beard, and that's because I'm still in the Shloshim. The Shloshim are the first 30 days after the death of a close relative. In this case, my mother, Zichrona Livracha, Malka Bat Meir, Zichrona Livracha, may her memory be blessed, Aleha HaShalom, peace be upon her. So I'm still in the Shloshim period of mourning for my mother. I'm not in the Shiva. We start out in Judaism, we start out with Shiva. Shiva is when you have the first 7 days after the death of a close relative, meaning a parent, son or daughter, a brother or sister, chas v'chalila lo aleinu, God forbid it, we shouldn't know from it. But when you have that period, for the first 7 days, you got to sit on low chairs and you're not allowed to leave the house, and there are numerous restrictions, many, many restrictions. Then the next 23 days, the total will be 30 days altogether in the end. The next 23 days, you have a lot of those restrictions are lifted, but the restriction on cutting your hair or shaving, that restriction continues for the next 23 days after that, for a whole 30 days. So that's why I have a beard, and that's why I look the way I look, because I'm still mourning the death of my magnificent, beautiful mother. We're going to speak, of course, about the events in Israel. You know, Hashem is such a merciful God, such a beautiful, merciful God. And you know, the death of my mother was something that reminded me about Hashem's great mercy and compassion, because Hashem created my mother. If Hashem created someone so beautiful and so kind and so moral and so decent like my mother, This is an example of the goodness of Hashem. When you see good characteristics in people, you should know that those are the things you should understand are also the characteristics, so-called characteristics of Hashem. I say so-called because you can't really put characteristics on a being that is infinite in every respect. I know that's philosophically complex, the point I'm raising now, but you can't really put characteristics, because characteristics create limitations, and there are no limitations on Hashem from any dimension. There are no limitations at all. He's completely infinite. But the goodness, when you see good people and beautiful people and kindness and love, you know that that is a manifestation of what Hashem really wants in the world, and that really represents what Hashem really is all about. Anyway, the events in Israel this past week, Hashem is showing his mercy. Hashem means God, of course. Hashem is showing his mercy, again, toward his people, his chosen people, the Jewish people. Because just a few short weeks ago, if you recall, everyone in Israel was speaking about a new era in relations between Jews and Arabs. About how Mansur Abbas, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. How Mansur Abbas and the Ra'am party, the Arab Muslim Nazi Ra'am party, were going to join the government. We're going to be part of the government coalition, and the government was going to rely on the Ra'am party to remain in power. In other words, the Arabs, who want to destroy Israel and destroy the Jewish people, were going to have a part, we're going to be an important and integral part of the Israeli government, of a so-called Jewish government. That's a Jewish government? That, what type of insanity? The insanity, it's a complete surrender of Jewish sovereignty. And this is what they want to do. And Bibi Netanyahu, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot, this evil beast who is the Prime Minister of Israel, he started this process. He started the process of running after Mahmoud Abbas and the Ra'am party and begging them to join his coalition. And then Naftali Bennett and the others who wanted to form a government, they, Yair Lapid and all the others, they were all part of the same process, trying to get Mahmoud Abbas, who openly supports the Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists, who have sworn in writing in their own constitution, if you want to call it that, their founding document, that their goal is to exterminate every single Jew on the face of the earth, and their goal is to forcibly convert or exterminate all non-Muslim infidels. And this is whom Netanyahu, Bennett, and all the parties in Israel were willing to accept. And Itamar Ben-Gvir, the so-called Kahanist, refused to rule out the possibility, refused under repeated questioning from interviewers, refused to rule out the possibility that he would support a government like that. He refused to rule out it. He said, I won't sit in a government like that, but he refused to rule out the possibility that he would support it from outside the government, which is all just shtick. It's all just a bluff. So in other words, there was never anyone in Israel, not one leader in Israel, not one party in Israel telling the Jews the truth. None. And everybody was so excited that the Arab Muslim Nazis were going to be part of the Israeli government, part of the Jewish government of Israel, seeing all the secrets of the Jewish state, participating in decisions, blackmailing Israel for even more billions of dollars in aid for the Arab Muslim Nazi communities in Israel. And then you had the so-called treaties, the so-called Abraham Accords, that the two evil people, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, had negotiated with Arab Muslim Nazi countries in the Persian Gulf and Morocco, and these evil accords, again, which were always a lie, and always an example of taqiyya. Taqiyya is deception. This is what Mohammed ordered the Muslims in the Quran to do with the non-Muslim infidels, to engage in taqiyya. You're supposed to deceive the non-Muslim infidels. This is what he commanded in the Quran and in the Hadith and in the other Muslim books, to deceive them. And he himself set examples of that. For instance, with the tribe of Quraysh, he promised them 10 years of peace. 2 years later, he made a sneak attack and slaughtered all of them and raped their women and slaughtered them and beheaded all of them. Just like you see ISIS and you see Al-Qaeda beheading people. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, is the one that started beheading people. He's the one that started this practice. And so they signed agreements with these Muslim Nazi countries, including wealthy countries in the Persian Gulf, and as we were the only ones that pointed this out. Excuse me, I'm still sick. I guess you could tell from my voice. I'm still sick. I still have remnants of the coronavirus. I'm better than I was before. I'm improving, but I'm still sick. So if I cough and if I have to adjust my voice from time to time, I hope you'll understand the reason for it. In any event, these wealthy Muslim countries that Israel signed treaties with were about to buy up all of Israel's economy. They were planning to buy up the whole Israeli stock market and all the major companies. And they were going to buy up all of Israel's big technology companies. Suicidal. I mean, just suicidal agreements. You know, for many years, Jews in Israel used to say, if the Arabs would just make peace with us instead of war, they could destroy us easily. Jews, years ago, had a certain understanding of that in Israel. But they all rushed to get into this phony peace. And we saw just a few short weeks ago that the Jews of Israel were hypnotized by this peace process and peace. And there are Muslims, and the Quran really says, that. Then this myth that the Quran says, no, the Quran says that the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. The Quran, so you just show it to the Muslim, and the Quran says the land of Israel belongs to the children of Israel. Children of Israel are Muslims, according to the Quran. Avraham, Avinu, Abraham, our father, is Ibrahim. He's a Muslim, according to the Quran. And Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the prophets in the Jewish Bible are all Muslims, according to the Quran. Chas v'chalila, God forbid. They're all Muslims, according to the Quran. By the way, Yeshu, you know, the God of the Christians, Jesus, they call him Jesus, Yeshu. He's a Muslim, according to the Quran. King David is Daoud. He was a Muslim. And they mix up all the dates and the times. I mean, the Quran is a book that should have been written in a mental asylum, and just complete insanity. Daoud, he came first. He actually came before Moses. Moses, we say in Hebrew, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, he's Musa in the Quran. He's also a Muslim prophet. In other words, the Muslims said that all of the great prophets and leaders of Judaism were really all Muslims. So they completely abrogate Judaism and abrogate the Jewish people. And in fact, the Muslim position is that the Jewish people don't exist. There is no Jewish people. There's just this religion, Judaism, which they claim Judaism, Christianity, and all other religions are all frauds, and the only true religion is Islam. That's the Muslim position. Now, we had this situation where Jews were saying, we're in a new era where Jews and Muslims and Jews and Arabs can coexist in peace, finally. Or at least most Jews and Arabs will be able to get along with each other and coexist in peace. Hashem decided to put an end to this disgusting illusion, and it's an evil, immoral, disgusting illusion. You know why it's evil? The aspiration of Jews to coexist in peace with Muslim Nazi mass murderers is not some noble aspiration. It's not just some mistake. It's evil. Because if you're willing to forgive mass murderers who want to exterminate your people, and you're willing to, and you desperately want to coexist with them, it means that you don't consider their barbaric, bestial behavior to be so bad after all. It's like the Jews that go to Germany now, as if the Germans didn't murder over 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. It's as like they're saying, well, the murder of 6 million Jews wasn't that bad. That's in effect what they are saying when they go to Germany and Poland. And you Jews that go to Poland to visit Auschwitz and all the concentration camps and give money to that Polish Nazi nation that participated fully in the Holocaust. Without Poland, they couldn't have murdered 6 million Jews. That's for sure. The number would have been a lot smaller without Poland's full cooperation. Now, this immoral, evil desire to suck up to the most evil people and to say, no matter how evil someone is, if Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or the most evil beasts that ever walked on the face of the earth, if they suddenly say, oh, let's make peace, oh, all right, let's forget everything, let's forgive and forget. This sick desire to do this, people who have this desire are themselves immoral, are themselves evil, because they're showing that what these monsters did and what they represent is not that really that bad. It's a mistake. It's a mistaken position, even wrong. Okay, but, you know, let's let bygones be bygones. That is very evil. Very evil. And remember, we always said on this show that Hashem eventually is going to wake up the Jewish people. Now, we got a long way to go before the Jewish people wake up. But at least they got a little bit of awakening this past week. Because this past week, aside from the thousands of missiles that the Hamas terrorists are firing into Israel, and if you remember, when Arik Sharon, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yerkav, when that traitor beast who was prime minister of Israel, who was also supposed to be a big right winger and a Likudnik and so on, when that beast and his government, together with the full support of Bibi Netanyahu, who voted for the Gush Katif expulsion, when they threw 10,000 Jews out of their homes in Gush Katif, they're the ones that made possible the attacks that Hamas is making upon Israel now. The thousands of missiles that are going, that are flying into Israel right now and destroying and terrorizing the people of Israel and causing millions of Jews to have to live in shelters, in the underground shelters, and live in terror. These terrible attacks, these thousands of missiles that are flying into Israel, this is because the Jews gave up Gush Katif, which was part of northern Gaza, that the Jews controlled, and the Jews had 36 beautiful, flourishing settlements there. And the Jews destroyed the settlements and handed it all over to the Hamas Arab Nazi Muslims in Gaza. And at the time, when people said, you're going to see, boy, this is going to, you're endangering the security of Israel, and they're going to be, from Gaza, they're going to be firing missiles into Israel, Katusha rockets into Israel. At that time, it was Katusha rockets. They were, was what they were using. Now their technology is more advanced, unfortunately. But at that time, they said, well, Katushas are going to be flying into Israel. The media, the politicians, everybody laughed and mocked the people that said that was going to happen. They said, there's no way that's going to happen. And it just shows, by the way, again, that every concession that Israel makes, every withdrawal, every concession, every gesture endangers Israel's survival and is bad for Israel and only causes more war and more bloodshed and more terrorism. Only a strong Israel that makes no concessions, only a strong Israel that stands for what the Torah commands, the Torah commands the Jewish people to stand for, only that Israel can deter war. The weak, cowardly leaders of Israel and the weak, cowardly position that the Israelis have adopted toward their enemies all these years, despite the fact that Hashem has given them all the tools they need to do whatever they need to protect themselves. They have the ability to do it if they would just use the tools that Hashem has given them. But this weak, cowardly position ensures that there's going to be constant terrorism and constant bloodshed and constant war and constant problems. It ensures it. But aside from the thousands of missiles, you now have the Arabs who live in Israel, who are citizens of Israel. Our Arabs. Ha'aravim shelanu. Our Arabs, they used to say to Rabbi, to our beloved leader, Harab Meir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana. They used to say, our Arabs. And they used to say the Arabs, Naftali Bennett said that 99.9% of the Arabs in Israel are loyal to the Jewish state. Are loyal to Israel, loyal to the Jewish state. They can't wait to sing the Hatikva. And this is supposed to be a right-winger, Naftali Bennett. His party is called Yamina, which means to the right. That's the name of his party. All his party names all involve right, that he's right-wing and right. And he says 99.9% of the Arabs support Israel, are loyal to Israel. Now we have mobs of Israeli Arab citizens of Israel. These are citizens of the Jewish state who get all the benefits from the Israeli government, just like the Schwarzes in the United States get all the benefits, and the white people have to pay for everything, and the white people have to get down on their hands and knees to them, and blacks in America hate America, they're ungrateful to America, they hate whites, and they're called civil rights leaders. Same situation in Israel. In Israel, it's even worse. And the Arabs who are citizens of Israel and who get all these benefits and who are treated much better than the Jewish citizens of Israel, much better, they now are forming mobs, huge mobs, lynch mobs, and they're going around and lynching Jews in Jewish cities, in Jewish neighborhoods, in Jewish streets, going into Jewish neighborhoods and lynching Jews. And the Israeli police do nothing. The Israeli police stand by and do nothing. And when Jews intervene for self-defense, what do? The police arrest the Jews who defend themselves. The Jews, of course, any Jew who kills Arabs that are trying, who are trying to hurt Jews, any Jew who does that is a hero. A Jew who kills Arabs that are attempting to murder Jews is a hero. But not in Israel. In Israel, they arrest the Jews for defending themselves, the police. And if the Jews show up to try to counteract these Arab mobs, because the police are not protecting the people of Israel, if the Jews show up, you have a lot of Jewish youth now are very upset and motivated, and they want to get out there and they want to fight back. And if they show up, the police, the first thing the police do is arrest the Jews and go against the Jews, not against the Arab Muslim Nazi rioters who are coming with guns and shooting Jews. They're shooting Jews in the streets of Israel, just shooting Jews. And this is happening in Lod, Yafo, Yerushalayim, and all the cities where there are Arab population, Arab and Jewish mixed populations. Because there is no mixing, and there is no coexisting with a cancer. And just as our great leader Rabbi Kahana said, the Arab Muslim Nazis, who are committed to the extermination of the Jewish people and of all non-Muslim infidels, they're a cancer in Israel. You can't coexist with a cancer. And so the Jews are getting a wake-up call about their Arab neighbors. They always say in Hebrew, Hashchenim, Hashcheneinu, our neighbors. Bnei hadodim shelanu, our cousins. They call the Arabs our cousins and our neighbors. And no one has a solution. No one offers a solution. Even the phony Kahanists don't offer a solution. Itamar Ben Gvir and all the phony Kahanists, they don't dare to offer a solution because they're Likudniks. They support the Netanyahu. They criticize Netanyahu here and there, but they know how far they can go to be part of the establishment. They're part of the establishment now. All a game. And they participate in the game happily so that they could have a Knesset seat. In other words, they do more harm than good, much more harm than good. There's only one solution. And there was always only one solution. You kill all the Arab terrorists and rioters. If there are Arabs rioting and endangering you by throwing rocks at you or Molotov cocktails at you or shooting at you, which is what's happening, you kill them. You go into the streets and you kill them. You take firearms or whatever you need and you kill them. That's number one. And you go in, you don't, in Gaza, you don't bomb empty buildings and warn them before you're going to bomb, which is what Israel has always done. You go in, you wipe out, first of all, you use the Air Force to completely wipe out all the terrorists and their supporters. All the terrorists and their supporters, you wipe them out. You bomb and bomb and bomb until you wipe them out. That's number one. And then there are openly hostile Arabs who haven't yet become terrorists, but they're openly hostile to the Jewish state. The openly hostile Arabs who are against the existence of a Jewish state, they've got to go. You expel them. You throw them out of the country. That's the second thing you do. And the third thing you do, the rest of the Arabs, whom you don't, let's say you don't have proof yet. I mean, they also hate Israel. They agree with the Arabs that want to destroy Israel. There are virtually no moderate Arabs. Very, very few. You can count them on your hand. Very few. They'd have to go against their religion. They'd have to go against their belief system. They'd have to go against their culture and their own people. Very, very few Arabs are moderates or genuinely want to coexist. Very few. And so the rest of the Arab population, you encourage them to leave. You say, you give them incentives and you say, you know, we can get you a beautiful life. For instance, in various countries, in Africa, Asia, and other countries, you live like kings. You sell your property. We'll even give you some compensation. You'll go there. And with that, in those countries, you'll live like kings. With that, you'll be among the wealthy elite in those countries, and you'll live very well. And also, Arabs can be encouraged to move to other Arab Muslim Nazi countries. And there are Western countries and European countries that want Arabs to move there. Australia and Canada, for instance, they've always had their huge countries with a sparse population. They encourage immigration. If they're willing to accept Arabs, fine, we'll be happy to supply them. Romania asked for 1 million Arab workers. What an opportunity to get rid of 1 million Arabs in Israel and say, here, we got workers for you, here you go. They'll work on all your projects, here you go. In a country like Romania, which by the way murdered tens of thousands of Jews during the Holocaust, they'd certainly be getting what they deserve. And they wanted it. They wanted it. But Sharon and all the leaders at that time said, oh, no, no, no. Not only are the leaders of the Likud and the leaders of the parties that Itamar Ben-Gvir and the phony Kahana support, not only are they not encouraging the Arabs to leave, they do everything they can to get them to stay, to make them more comfortable. And Benjamin Netanyahu has truthfully said, and he's completely right when he says this, that he has done more to help the Arabs in Israel than any other prime minister in the country's history. He has spent more money, done more to help them than anyone else, and it's all true. It's all true. Lets them build illegally wherever they want, is building for them, helping them. He's done much more for them than any other prime minister in Israel's history. Now, a poll taken a number of years ago showed that 90% of the Arabs in Gaza want to leave. Of course, it's a complete hell over there for the Arabs. I mean, where Arabs rule, where Hamas rules, of course it's going to be hell. Of course, 90% are going to... It's amazing it wasn't more than 90%, but 90% of the Arabs in the poll said they want to leave. And Arabs, the minute the border is opened up with Egypt, the Sinai border with Egypt, the minute it's opened up, thousands, thousands of Arabs run toward the border desperately trying to get out. They desperately want to leave. Instead of opening everything up and saying, go ahead, go. Go, go. We'll even help you. Go, we'll help you pack your thing and everything else. Go. We could empty out Gaza. 80%. I said 90%. It was actually 80% of the Arabs in Gaza said that they want to leave. It's 80%. Let me correct myself in that poll. And 70% of the Arabs in Judea and Samaria said that they want to leave. 70% want to leave voluntarily. By the way, tens of thousands of Arabs do leave sometimes every month, sometimes thousands leave every month, sometimes tens of thousands leave every month, depending on the circumstances. But one of the reasons why the Arabs, you know, we were always worried about the Arabs becoming a majority in Israel, because they used to have a much higher birth rate than the Jews. They don't now. But now the Jews have a higher birth rate than them. Baruch Hashem, that's one of the miracles in Israel. God is getting the Jews to have children in Israel. But at one time, for many, many years, the Jews were worried that the Arabs are going to become a majority. The reason that never happened, and the reason the Arab percentage of population hasn't really increased, and sometimes in many areas has decreased, is because huge numbers of Arabs from Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and pre-67 Israel are leaving all the time leaving. There are also Israeli Jews who leave Israel, but not in the same numbers as the Arabs. And so they want to leave. They've always been nomadic people. They want to leave, and especially the young ones who are the dangerous ones, who are the ones that could have babies and are dangerous and a terrorist and are a physical threat, they're the ones who really want to leave. In other words, the worst, the ones you want to get out the most, they're the ones who want to leave the most. Perfect situation that Hashem created for us if we just had a leader with a little sechel, some brains, and some emunah Yehudit and some Jewish faith. That's all you need. They want to leave voluntarily, 80% in Gaza, 70% in Judea and Samaria, and in pre-1967 Israel, 60% want to leave. And those numbers are small numbers compared to what it would really be in the end, because once we cut off all the special goodies that the Israeli government gives them, the Israeli government gives Arabs things that they don't give Jews, we would just eliminate that. You're not getting any special benefits. If Jews have to pay for their water bill, you got to pay for your water bill. You know, Arabs get free water, free electricity, free food, free everything. All paid for by Jews. No more. No more. Jews have to pay for their water. Jews have to pay for their food. Jews have to pay for pay taxes. You have to do that also. If you don't like it, get out. You're just going to do the same thing the Jews have to do. If you cut off all the little goodies, all the benefits, the special benefits they get, almost all of them would want to leave. Almost all of them would want to get out. That's the only solution. And it always was. Which is one of the reasons why it's such an unbelievable crime, an unforgivable crime, that all the political parties and all the political bosses in Israel banned our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana when he wanted to run and become prime minister someday and carry out programs that would have brought redemption, final redemption to the Jewish people. So, that's the solution. That's the answer. And Hashem, you should know that all of these terrible things happening in Israel, of course we don't want terrible things to happen to our brothers and sisters in Israel. We love our fellow Jews, even though they're stupid, and they are very stupid, but we still love them. And I'm saying Jews are stupid. You say, Jews aren't supposed to be a stupid people. They're supposed to be brilliant. They're brilliant in science. They're brilliant in math. They're brilliant in literature. They're brilliant in business. They're brilliant in the stock market. They're brilliant in bonds, and they're brilliant in all these other things. Yes, they're brilliant in million different areas. Music, art, literature, brilliant, medicine, brilliant in all those areas. Geniuses, unbelievable geniuses. No people comes even close. But when it comes to their own survival, they are so hopelessly stupid. What an irony. That's the one area where they're stupid. And always have been. Look at the Holocaust. They believed the Germans when the Germans told them they're just going to take showers, they're just going to go to work camps. They believed the Germans through the whole process. They believed the Germans. By the way, the Serbs didn't believe the Germans. The Serbs, who are not as well educated as the Jews by any means, they knew, and they refused to go, and they refused to cooperate, and they fought back, the Serbs. And the Jews that fought with the Serbs in the mountains, that went up with the mountains to fight with the Serbs, those Jews in Serbia survived. The Jews that were practical, you got to be pragmatic, let's face it, what are you doing? You're crazy, you're irrational, you're an extremist, you're a fanatic, what's wrong with you? What, do you live in a fantasy world? What's wrong with you? Don't you realize? Those Jews were exterminated in Serbia. It was true in other countries too. Same story. Now, JTF has a video campaign where we tell the truth to the Jewish people, but in this case, we can't. We have a video campaign. We attack Bibi Netanyahu and his government. We say that the phony right is worse than the left and so on. And a lot of the messages that you hear here, we have been bringing to the people of Israel on a regular basis. And over 2 million Jews have seen our videos several years. We've had over 2 million views. And all the time, Jews are seeing our videos. Every day, Jews are seeing our videos. They're running because we have an advertising campaign. But we can't put a video saying that the Arabs want to destroy the Jewish people, and the Arabs hate the Jewish people, and Islam wants to destroy the Jewish people. That they won't allow us to say in our ads or in anything else. That none of the sites, none of the advertising, none of them will allow us to say that. So the truth that I've told you in this particular program, I can't tell to the people of Israel. It's censored. The truth is censored. You're not allowed to tell the truth. There's a certain truth that we've been telling, and it's important too. What we've been telling is important too. We've given important messages to the Jewish people over the years. But the truth that we want to tell, what you heard in today's program, that they won't allow us to say, unfortunately. So we're going to say whatever we can say, whatever we can get out, we're going to do, and whatever we can achieve, we will try to achieve. You know, when I think about the foolishness, the insanity of this generation, and how wonderful the world would be if we would just give people who know the truth and who want to tell the truth a chance to speak, a chance not to be censored, a chance to present their case to the people of Israel. Because right now the people of Israel are ready to hear the message you just heard on this program. A lot of Jews would agree with what I said now. Several weeks ago they wouldn't agree because they were living in this they started living in the dream world again. But because they got this reminder right now, they're ripe for this type of message. Many Jews in Israel are ripe for this type of message. But we're not allowed to bring the message to them. Not allowed. So hopefully there'll be Jews who will be smart enough to draw their own conclusions, and we will try to reach people whichever which way as much as we can and do the best we can to help the people of Israel. May Hashem have mercy on his people. May Hashem bless his people. And may Hashem bring final redemption to the Jewish people and the righteous Gentiles, and destruction, yes, destruction to the evil. The evildoers should have happen to them what they want to do to the innocent Jews and the innocent righteous Gentiles. That should happen to them instead. All the evil that they want to do should be on their heads. This should happen to them. Instead of them beheading Jews and doing other things that they'd like to do, they're the ones that should suffer that fate. May Hashem hear our prayers and give us a way out of this, and hopefully the day will come when we'll be able to witness the beginnings of the great awakening, of the great awakening of the Jewish people that will yet take place, that the Hebrew prophets all tell us about, that will yet take place. There will be a great awakening of the Jewish people, and that will bring the final redemption someday. We got to do everything we can to try to bring that, about, even though the odds are stacked so much against us, and we have to do everything we can, and that's what JTF is trying to do, and that's what you're part of, as long as you're part of JTF. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.